Okay, it's gone.
Okay, so we're on Perek Beis, right? Mishnah Vav. I think we're up to Mishnah Vav, right? Okay, so it says like this: Afu Ra Gogolus Achas Shetzaf Al Pnei Amayim. Okay, so Hillel saw a skull floating on the water. Amar La, he said to it, Al Da Teft Atfuch. You were drowned because you drowned others. Okay? The sof mitifayach yitufim. In the end, okay, so Hillel saw a skull that was floating in the water. So he said, you were drowned because you drowned others. And in the end, those that drowned you will be drowned. Okay? Mysterious statement. Okay, so what does this mean? So they're really two pshatim on this. Let's first do the Rambam. Okay. So the Rambam says like this: Ratzel lomar she'ata nerag ba'avur she'haragta zulasecha. Okay, you were killed because you killed others. Vasher hargecha asin lihare. Okay, those that killed you will eventually themselves be killed. Hakavana bezeh hamaymer shepeulos haraos yeshuvu barosh oseh. Okay, so the Rambam says that the intent of this statement is, it means to say that evil actions return onto the head of the doer. Okay? But what does that mean? He quotes a few psukim. Then he says like this: V'zeh davar hanira le'ayim. This is something that you could observe. V'chol eis v'chol zman. Okay, at any time, you could observe this. Shekomi shiyaseh ra v'yachadesh minei hachamas. Anybody who is involved in evil, does evil, and introduces new type of evil, new type of violence, or introduces something bad in the world. He says, shehu atzmo yuzak min haraos. He himself suffers from that evil that he introduced. Mibnei, why? Shehu lame melacha sheteasen nezek lo zulasa. Okay, he teaches a certain melacha that should be done that's harmful. Okay, he teaches a certain practice, and it's a harmful practice. V'chein kol hamalamed. Okay, right? So he says that he teaches a certain practice, he introduces bad things, and these bad things, eventually, he becomes victim to himself. Okay? He says, V'chein kol hamalamed maila shemechadesh pol tov min hatovos. If a person is malamed something good, he teaches others a good thing, yigiyehu toelas hapoel hahu. So he receives that good also. Okay, he'll benefit from that as well. Not only will others benefit, but he'll benefit himself. Mibnei shuhu melame davar shiyase tov lo uzulasa. Okay? So he teaches something, a good action, that will be good for him and for others. So what is Rambam saying? The What's the idea that he's trying to say?
So, Shadowly, he was saying was that a person who might discover something which can be harmful will, other people will learn from it and find they're getting harm from it.
He'll suffer the harm also, right?
And then the opposite for something good.
And the opposite for something good, right? Which is true. I mean, if a person does evil, so he imagines that he's somehow exempt, that he's harming others, but he doesn't look at it that he'll be a victim himself, right? He's the perpetrator. That's when a guy is a perpetrator, so he feels those are the victims, but I'm not the victim, right? But in that sense, in a sense, it's true that when a person perpetrates evil, so he has an influence on others, and then he might very well be eventually the victim of that thing also. Maybe not that particular action, right? He won't be the victim of that particular action, right? But when a person does a particular action, he doesn't look to realize that the action has an effect much later on, right? It has a delayed effect. He's lowering society, and then he himself has to live in that society, right? So he just looks at the immediate. In the immediate, he has a net gain. But overall, that's not necessarily true, right? Like not the exact same thing, but a person in there. A lot of times people are in business and they'll do certain things which may be bad for the environment. They'll pollute the environment, right? Or they'll introduce something that could be harmful for people, right? So in their minds, they're gaining really because they're making the profit and they're not the ones living in that, maybe in that place which is being polluted. So they feel that they're safe, you know, but they're not looking at the overall picture. The overall picture they have to live now in the world. And when you pollute the world now, you're really harming yourselves ultimately. Or your children. Maybe one of your children will decide to live in that community and be destroyed. Right? So people don't really think in that, on that scale. Right? They look at the immediate.
So you're saying it's the same for anything, like a person. You know, the first person to drive that shooting, he felt that like he was, and he thought that you know, like it was, okay, he's gonna get what he wants and stuff like that. But then it turned his neighborhood into a dangerous neighborhood where they had to worry about something like that.
That's right. Right. So in the short term, he had a gain because he figured out this new idea, and now he's gonna kill his enemies and he'll be right. He'll come out okay. But he doesn't realize that, but now, once people see that, they're going to do that, and they'll do it to him. I mean, in the long run, there's no gain.
Introducing the world.
Well, that's what it means, like Jimmy's case. Like a person, let's say when the person, the country, whoever invented a gunpowder, right? So the country that had that tool was a tremendous advantage. Right, but the only thing is that's short term. But long term, there's no advantage because the other guy's going to get it. It's like the atom bomb. When we developed the atom bomb, for that short period, yeah, we had the advantage. But we're not going to remain that way because the other guy's going to get it. So now, back to where you started.
Now we have to worry.
Yeah. What's that?
Now we have to worry.
I
think this only applies to novel ideas or if a person, like with the drowning case, like it's not like no one knew what drowning was before.
Right.
But seeing a person do it makes another person, it sparks the idea in the other person's head, I
should
use that.
It's like opening up an avenue for a new way to express something.
That's right, you're opening up the door. Like the other guy wouldn't know, he could figure that out too, but you can't do that. You know what I mean? So that's that is an extreme case where that really magnifies the point where you introduce a new evil. But even if a person doesn't introduce a new evil, just doing an evil action, it carries with it a certain justification. Other people then can follow. You know, establishes a precedent. Now, and when a person abstains from evil, that also establishes a precedent, and that influences people too. So when a person does good, right, so that has an influence that's not just for that action, but it has an influence on the others around them, and it's a long-term gain. Right?
Yeah. This is only going to apply in public, though, right? Like, anything in private won't have this attached to it.
That's right. That's right.
If you want to jump on this, make sure no one's watching.
No, but if you're talking about pollution, like directly affects other people.
That affects other people.
Yeah,
that's right.
So you're introducing it not directly to like another person, but you're still...
That's still public, I mean...
The pollution was just a mushroom. It wasn't saying that was the new harm that I was introducing.
Right. It just means that you see that a lot of times you can do a thing and you're looking at the immediate. In the long term, you're suffering, there's no net gain. You're trying to get a net gain with something that, in the bigger picture, is no net gain. So people limit themselves to the smaller picture. And in the smaller picture, then they can feel, hey, I got something. Right? But that's not really the reality, is the larger picture. Right?
I mean, so really the problem is that you said it's precedent, right? But I mean, if you're in a society, like, it's just as likely that someone else is innocent because somebody else can get hurt. Like, how is this much worse for you than, like, you know, you happen to be in a neighborhood, someone else set the precedent, now you're also the victim of a drive-by shooting. Like, it doesn't, like, I mean, you do see that, it, like, you are setting the precedent, but it doesn't seem that it's doing so much worse off, like, you know?
That guy doesn't do it.
Then all the guys, yeah, there's going to be a bunch of people who are going to be, like, happen to be bystanders in a place, in this community, where someone sets the precedent, and everyone's going to suffer.
And they didn't do anything.
Yes, yeah, so you're more likely to be you're more likely to be a bystander of someone else setting the precedent, because there's more people like that than you setting the precedent.
Yeah, but they have a chance at least to undo it. Like, even if you don't, it's not just if you set the precedent, it's not just saying if you're the one who invented drive-by shooting. Even if it's already invented in your community, the fact that you do it reinforces it for someone else that sees it, and it's just So yeah, you're right. Maybe you just stopping won't help anything. But if you stop and then this other guy follows the same advice, and then eventually, even if it was already started, you could, right? You could be able to undo it. It's not just like what's happening. You might as well just keep doing it. Because...
Right. But the only thing is, if you look at the Mishnah and the Rambam, right? The Rambam's saying that the person, and you see this all the time, he says, the person that does the evil, the evil comes back on his head. And the person that does the good comes back to him. The way we are explaining it, that's not correct. What we're saying is, which is true, what we're saying is maybe true, but it seems the Rambam is saying something else or something further, because the way we're saying it, when a person introduces evil, he's harming himself. He's not only harming others, he's harming himself indirectly also, because he's part of that society, right? But the others will suffer the evil too, right? So therefore, if you see a person that's destroyed, right, the Rambam was saying, if you see a person that meets an untimely death, right? Oh, it's because he did evil, and the evil now is returning on his head. No, he could be a perfectly innocent person, and he was the victim of evil, right? In other words, the Rambam is saying that the evil comes back on you. True, the evil comes back on you along with everybody else, right? And when a good man does the good, right, the Rambam says that the good comes back to him. True, but the good goes to the evil man too. The good goes to everybody. Right? Now, the way we're explaining it, it is the effect, you have an effect on society which improves or deteriorates society. Right? The Rambam seems to be saying more than that. that the you have a special spot, that you will receive the evil, not only society, right? You'll receive it. Why is that? And if you do good, there's a way in which the good comes back to you in specific. Shouldn't have said that, right? You shouldn't have said that. You should have said the good benefits society in general insofar as you're part of society benefit, and vice versa. So is he saying, so that's what I'd like to understand. I mean, is he saying something a little further?
I think we're adding in the word society, basically.
Well, no, because in other words, look, he's saying this is something you observe all the time. Mi shi yaseh ra, right? Shehu atzma yuzak min ha-ra'as. Ahem ba'atzma. That very ra, he is affected by. And if the person does good, you see this all the time, that the person does good, he himself is benefited by the good.
Isn't that true, though, what you're saying? I don't understand how you're saying what you're saying is different than what Rama is saying.
So the Rama seems to be isolating the person that originated the thing. You see, what we're saying is that when a person does good, it has a general effect, and of course, since he's just a part of society, he benefits along with everybody else. Right? And when a person does evil, he suffers along with everybody else, but not differently than anybody else. What the Rama should have said is that this is something you can observe all the time. If you have a society where evil people are prominent, the society suffers. Right? The society suffers along with him. But why is that? Maybe I'm reading too much into it. I'm happy with the way you have it. I'm just, it seemed at first sight, the Rama seems to be isolating that person.
It seems like that's highlighting the fact that, like, the first thing you said, that it seems like you're getting an immediate gain, and that you're on top of it, and you're fine. But it's isolating the fact that it's going to come back on, like, it's going to knock you down from that like, state of mind, that you think it's only outside of you, it's not going to affect you, but it's really going to come back and even, like, hit you. Like,
okay, right. Just, like, okay, so you're saying the Rama speaking from the perspective of the way that person views it. He views he's immune, but in fact, he's just as vulnerable as everybody else. Okay, it could be. I'm not saying that.
Right. He doesn't seem more vulnerable than everyone else. That's
right, the question is he more vulnerable? In other words, you could say the Rama doesn't mean he's more vulnerable, he just means in contrast to the way the man views it, he views himself as immune, as invulnerable. In fact, he's just as vulnerable. And that's why you see it, it's shocking. Hey, this guy, it shocks you more when he suffers because in your mind, hey, he's the guy that's the attacker. How did it come back on him? Right, so maybe that's what the Rama means. But I'm just wondering if the Rama means something more that actually it does. It is more, he is more vulnerable. Not equally vulnerable, but perhaps he's more vulnerable than the others that don't get this.
Is Rama only famous by the evil person or by the good person also?
Good person also. See what I'm saying?
And also, is he saying that it will? Is he saying that the person will just be just receive good and evil, or he's saying for both of them that they'll receive that specific good and
that? That's thing.
I understand how this will work for the person saying good, but it seems like for the person who's doing evil, then like he is kind of setting himself up as a target. Like he's going out and he's harming someone or harming something, and he was doing something which you know people probably will perceive as bad, and people will want to stop him, and you know now he's you know so and now he's in the forefront, now he has a reason you know to be harmed, and he just taught everyone this great way to harm people. Yeah, you know?
Well, like, if you start doing tzedakah, so then or just doing chesed or whatever, and so you could eventually be in the recipient of that.
Right.
You're starting that trend.
That's true. I don't see it as much with like if you develop like a new way of like being good or something like that. I don't see that it will necessarily come back to you in the same way that you're starting it. But like I think it works with evil.
Right. Okay. Good.
So if you really perfect your evil, it won't come back to you. Mm-hmm. If you're really good at evil, right?
Well, not come back to you.
Because you'll hide it.
Meaning people will know that you're the guy, right? But if you're really good at performing it, then you'll basically avoid it.
That's not the point, though. The point is that if it becomes a societal thing, then you'll just ask them.
Well, no,
so it's not about people knowing
that. No, but we're trying to say why it is that person.
Okay. So you're saying that he's more vulnerable because since he's evil, people are going to want to get him, and now he's a target. He himself becomes a target. Okay, but then, okay, but what are you're asking on him that no, but if he was really an evil genius, it's only insofar as he's not really perfected in his evil.
Correct.
But if he was perfected in his evil, then he'd be able to kill those people first. Right? He'd be able to avoid the punishment. It's only insofar as he has a defect as an evil man. Right?
Or you can cover it up. Not necessarily that he has to kill him. The other person first. That's one possibility. But.
Right. Or do it in a way that somehow, obviously, if he's going to commit the crime in a way that it'll become known, but do it in a secretive way.
And frame someone else.
So frame someone else, right? But you're right. I think you're on the right track. The evil always carries with it that danger, that you place yourself in that danger. Right? Because the thing is like this, the thing is, the problem is that a person, that it's impossible to be perfectly evil. That's really the problem. Because the thing is that the evil man really wants to manipulate everything for his own gain. Right? The thing is, the problem is that in reality, in order to succeed at anything, you always need an accomplice. You need an organization. You cannot succeed alone. Just like in order to be productive in society, you need others, you need an organization, you need cooperation. You do this task, I do this task. If a person tries to succeed by himself, it's impossible. Can't do it. It's the same thing with evil. If a person wants to accomplish any evil in reality, he needs an organization. That's why I have the mafia. Right? Because if a guy's alone, then he has all kinds of vulnerabilities. Other guys can gang up against him. He can't really do what he needs to do. So that's why to be perfectly evil is impossible. Because perfectly evil would mean that I don't cooperate with anybody. I just follow my own thing. Once I'm cooperating and I set up a system, oh, now I'm working with reality. I recognize that in order to accomplish my thing, I need reality. You see, insofar as he's doing that, he's departing from evil. He's really recognizing reality, and he's working in line with what his mind tells him he needs to do. You see? So that is the problem. Because once he does that, you see, then who are his accomplices? They must, by definition, be evil men. Right? So the thing is, by definition, he has to be subjecting himself to great danger. Because who's he associating with? Other evil people. Other evil people that are only coordinating with him for the sake of evil. But the moment they don't need him, that's it, the guy's dead. Just like the moment he doesn't need them, he would kill them in a second. You see, they're only there for a practical need. See? So that's why the Rambam says that you always see, this is something you see, that who gets knocked off? Who do you find gets knocked off? Well, once you see a guy laying on the street, it's a hit. You know, this guy's in the mafia. He's not an innocent bystander. He's in the mafia. Because who are the people that he associates with? Other evil people. Can't associate with the good people. And to associate with nobody? Impossible. You can't be evil. You see? So by the nature of evil, he must be setting himself up. Not only that the good people want to destroy him. You see, that's true too. The good people in society want to destroy him. But the people in his organization also want to destroy him. You see? So therefore, that's what it means. That in reality, the moment a person goes against reality, he has two groups against him. He basically has the whole world against him. He has those that go against reality are also against him, because he's standing in the way of their benefit, really. And those that go with reality have to be against him. See? So it's impossible. So that's why, if the person follows evil, he must be very vulnerable. Must be. And yeah.
I understand that would like the mafia, you know, or something like that, but what about a case like whatever Pope was in charge of the Crusades or something like that? Like that was a very evil thing, but it wasn't like he was dealing with people who were just like violent, chaotic people. It was people who were all dedicated towards a cause, and it was his cause. And it's not like any of his soldiers wanted to like become Pope. It was he was leading them after some higher ideal, which was evil.
Right.
So like I don't see how like the greed and the power hungriness would come back at him in that case, because it's not that he's chasing power, he's just chasing some false idea.
Right. So he's chasing some distortion, some false picture of the reality,
right?
Which is based on some emotion, some crazy emotion that's gone awry,
right?
That he's following, right? And they're following also some crazy emotion, since they're his friends, right? Okay, so then the thing is that if all of your friends are people that are irrational, would you want friends like that?
If I'm irrational in the same way, then...
Do you want friends like that?
Then...
You wouldn't. Because the thing is that it only works when things are going well. But the person, if you have people that are irrational as your friends, you have to make sure the situation never changes. That's why these guys have all kinds of people guarding them, all kinds of safeguards in place. Because all of the people around them are irrational. So if one thing, if the guy slips up in one way, that's it, he's gone. The person looks at a leader like, oh, this guy, wow, he's in control, he has the power. Not true. The guy makes one wrong move, they'll get rid of him. In a second, if the Pope would do one wrong thing, do one thing that goes against the emotions of everybody, you think the guy's going to be safe? Let's say he would decide, you know what, I realize the Jews really are righteous people. I only think he would be Pope. He'd be killed in a second. If he would come out with a statement like that, the guy would be dead. So you're right. As long as he can maintain, just like in the mafia, as long as that guy can maintain all the conditions exactly the way they are, he's safe. That's not real safety. See, that's just he's spending his whole life making sure nothing goes wrong. But he's in great danger. That's why he has to be very vigilant. You know what I mean? So from the outside, yeah, you look at the guy, you go, this guy's got all his soldiers around him, nobody's touching him. Yeah, except he's a prisoner. He makes the wrong move, he's dead. You see?
That's the same with a righteous ruler also.
Not true.
If he strays from the truth, then people will dispose of him also.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But the only difference is...
That's not the extreme.
What's that?
That's the opposite extreme. You're not working with the extreme.
You know, so let's now contrast it to the righteous person, right? The person that lives in reality, he doesn't have to guard against anything. He is living in reality. So, and that's what he wants. What he wants is reality. You see, what the evil man wants is not really... They do not... All of those people together that are coordinated together are not really coordinated. Why are they together? Each one really wants his own emotional satisfaction. He just needs the other guy to gain what he wants. But if he didn't, but if that other guy became unnecessary, get rid of him in a second, kill him in a second. The righteous person is not looking for some kind of personal thing that I want to do my thing in contrast to you. He just wants reality. That's it. So he is not protecting himself against anything. He is just in line with reality. And the people that he is associating to, They're not looking to kill him or not looking for some kind of distortion of reality. They're all looking for reality. So therefore, that's what he's saying. He's saying that the good man, the reason why, not only does he have a good life, but those around him, his environment is good to him. Because who is he associating with? He's associating with other people who love the truth. Now, could you be harmed by a guy who loves the truth? Any way he's acting must be in line with the truth. And that can't be a harm to you.
He's still going to need to maintain both his own being in line with reality and his subordinates' idea of what reality is. He's going to have to make sure that they're not being, that they don't have any distortions such that they would want to oust him. Just like the other guy.
All right. You see, the guy who's living in reality, okay, there is nobody, the people that he is with, the people that he associates with are others that are in reality, right? So if a person's in reality, there is nobody that's trying to destroy him right now. Now, it's true, if a person that is there decides to become evil, yeah, then he has to protect himself. You see, because the evil man really wants his own good and doesn't care about it. Okay. So, but those that are living in reality, I don't have to protect myself against the person that follows the truth. Why would I have to protect myself unless I'm against the truth? You see? But the person that is against the truth, he has to protect himself against other people that are against the truth. Because once you're against the truth, that means the other person is meaningless. I don't care about that other person. I only want my personal gratification. I only want my crazy emotional picture of the reality. And that doesn't include you. Let's say you have two thieves, right? So each thief does not care about the rights of others, right? He only wants to function in a way that will give him the most money, right? Okay, now is there any reason why one thief should not steal from the other thief? Is there a reason why a thief is prejudicial against an honest man, only will steal from an honest man, but won't steal from another thief? Impossible. The only reason why he won't steal from another thief is if he needs that thief, then he's his partner. Then he won't steal from him. But intrinsically, he would steal from him. If he no longer needed him as a partner, he'd be very happy to take his money, just like he'll take anybody's money. Right? So when a person is going against the truth, then by definition, he has to be against the other guy, even his partner. You see, but if a person is following the truth, there's no reason for me to be against the other person. On the contrary, the other person is beneficial to me.
I do see that with certain types of fantasies, but it seems like some fantasies include, you know, like having, you know, like you know, it's it may be ultimately for my own gain, but the other person is an essential part of that. Like,
I understand, but that's just an emotion. In other words, let's say, for instance, I have an emotion that I want this guy to share in my good. I want him to share in it. It's an emotional thing. I have a certain kind of relationship with him, and I want this guy to be with me. Okay, and then together we'll build an empire, whatever it is. Right? Okay. So that's based on a certain emotion. Now that emotion is based on particular things. If that guy will look at you the wrong way, that's the end of that emotion. You can't have an emotion with a guy. An emotion is always based on a particular thing. That this guy, his way of acting appeals to you, right? Now let's say something happens to that guy where he decides he acts a totally different way, just having nothing to do with you. And that's it, that's the end of the relationship. It's only based on an internal feeling about a specific thing, nothing in reality. But if I have a relationship with a guy based on the truth could never change. If I have a relationship with a person based on the love of the truth, could the truth ever change? So how is it possible the relationship could ever deteriorate?
Within the evil person's framework, and he also has a certain set of things which he thinks is the truth. And as long as those things don't change, then the relationship will also remain intact.
Like what? Like what does he have that he thinks is the truth?
Like let's say the with the Pope, then he thinks what he's doing is justice. And as long as other people remain in line with that truth, then he's not being right.
What is that truth based on? If a person believes that killing others is good, is that truth based on a perception of reality or on an emotional feeling that killing others is good?
I said what matters, what is based on.
I'll tell you very simply, because an emotional feeling could change like that. It's internal emotions are constantly changing. You see, there's nothing, there is no, since there's no reality, that's what it means. If there's a reality, it means that thing that's true today remains true tomorrow. But if it's not based on an external reality, it's just based on an internal feeling. So the internal feelings are subject to change from one second to the next. The guy could be the pleasantest guy in the world, and 2 seconds later, that guy's a maniac. And what happened? Nothing happened. It's an internal reality. His internal reality changed. But that's because he's functioning with the internal world. And he doesn't even know what is affecting him internally. You see? But if the person is functioning with truth, then that means his actions are determined by what is true. Right? So if my actions are determined by what is true, and your actions are determined by what is true, could we ever be in a fight? Let's say I discover a different truth, a new truth, right? Okay, so could I be in a fight with you? Well, if it's really true and I tell you this idea, you'll agree with it. So how can we ever be in a fight?
If one of the two guys made like an emotional slip up, he'd be happy to hear it from the other guy.
Exactly. Right. That's right. Whereas if the person desires the truth and an emotional slip up and the other guy tells him, he'd be happy about it. So the only guy that could fight is a guy that's not going on the truth, a guy that's going on his own emotions. And that guy could get in a fight because I could have a totally different set of emotions than you. So we're not going to get along.
It seems like you're dealing with very, very high-level individuals here.
Well, we have to speak qualitative. In other words, we want to isolate a certain way a person functions. So the only thing we could say is, insofar as he's functioning on that level, to the degree that he functions in line with the truth, to that degree he will not be in conflict with others. And to the degree that the man functions in line with his emotions, to that degree he is subject to harm. That's the only thing we can say.
I mean, the Rambam described it as doing one action, right? That if you do one, like the one evil action that you do, that evil action is going to come back to you. So is that, are you just fitting that in with the degrees? And like, you can be a person who has a distortion, who chases his fantasies, but it sounds like if I do good, then insofar as this good that I do, I'm going to get a benefit.
That's right, exactly. Insofar as I do good, I must align myself. First of all, it's an intrinsic benefit, because I did the right thing. But not only that, insofar as I do the good, I must align myself with good people. Because these are the only people that will coordinate, cooperate with me for the good. So insofar as I do the good, you see, I am associating with people that are good. Insofar as I do the evil, I must be aligning myself with evil people. So insofar as my surroundings are evil, I will harm them and they'll harm me. Insofar as my surroundings are good, I'll benefit them and they'll benefit me. And it's not possible any other way. See, that's why the philosophers say that if a person is perfectly evil, would be perfectly evil, he would not be able to function. The guy wants to rob a place. Can't have a partner, because a partner means, I'm controlling myself and joining with him for a logical reason that we should be able to coordinate and do this job. But that means I have to split the money with him, I have to work out a logical plan. Now, a perfectly evil person would say, I don't care about reality, I'm going to go in there and just, that's it. Why do I have to worry about reality? My wish is to have that money, just go in there and grab the money. Not going to last too long.
I just recently did a possible which said that I'd be perfectly, that the, it's a, the tzaddik brings success to the house of the rasha to corrupt them further towards evil.
The tzaddik what?
Brings success to the house of the rasha.
Right.
To corrupt them further towards evil.
Oh, I see. That.
Because the success of the rasha, what the success of the rasha means is that he's less in line with reality, which means that more reality is fighting him.
That's right.
Which
that's
will
right.
ultimately destroy him.
That's right. That's right. What's that? The Rambam really interprets it that the evil is an inherent harm to he himself, but also because of his evil, he will be harmed from those that he associates with. So that's why you'll see that a lot of times a guy lives a certain life, he suffers from that exact life that he's living because of that situation. He cannot exist in a vacuum. Okay? So that's how the Rambam works it out.
So why would the person who does good, why would he necessarily get the same goodness that he did?
Because when he does the good, he also must be operating with others, with a society of good, with men that are good. Right? So just like he's benefiting them, they'll benefit him. And so far as he improves their state, now they're on a higher level. So now the group that he's cooperating with are good people. So he'll be benefited. And he'll be immune to harm because he will not have relations with anybody that's evil. Because there's no common ground. He's totally divorced from anybody that's evil. There's no common ground with anybody evil. He only has common ground with the good people. So he'll be benefited by them. Whereas the evil man only has common ground with the evil. So those are the ones that will harm him. And it's based on the idea that a person cannot function in fact.
So will he be more of a position to receive the good than the whole society?
Yeah. It'll be closer to the good. Because the society in general, people in general that are just living, I mean, that's a good point. Right. Because originally we said society in general is one homogeneous group. But not true. Right? Society contains many groups. You have those that are good, those that are neutral, and those that are evil. So if a person, insofar as a person is closer to the good, he will join together with those individuals most like him. Whereas if a person is half and half, so he won't get the full benefit because some of his friends won't be totally good. He may have some evil friends. And so he's going to be, he won't have the same kind of association as the good man. So it comes out that society is one whole, but it's also made up of parts. And the question is, which part are you closer aligned with?
The evil is like working, the evil person is working against everyone. Because even his friends are working against him.
That's right, exactly.
Whereas the good guy, as soon as he makes a mistake, it's not like someone's ready to jump on his throat, virtually. It's not his mistake. Unless he's an evil guy, which
right. Is evil. Right. Yeah, the truth is the evil guy is the enemy of the evil man and the good man. And the good man is really the friend of the good man and is really the friend of the evil man too. You see, because he would really help the evil man. He would attempt to make the evil man good. Right? Like, let's say the evil man was a judge, so he would punish the evil man. That is really something he's trying to rehabilitate the evil man, to remove his evil from him. So the good are really the friends of the good and the friends of the evil.
They're friends of the evil, so far as the evil is all in your heart.
Right.
The evil guy still wants to harm him. not more than the other evil guy, but just like any other good guy, the evil guy would want to harm him.
That's right. But the good man really may not be a social friend. But the true friend, he is a true friend, because he really would want to remove the evil, want to benefit the evil man, to remove his evil from him. You see, so that's the thing. So the evil man really is the enemy of the good and the evil. The only thing is, he can harm the evil man more because he has more to do with the evil man. Whereas to the good man, he's further removed. Right? So let's just take a look, maybe we could start, if you want it, I mean, unless you have a further question. Rashi has a different shot. See, Rashi says like this. He says, Al-Shahayisa melastim es abriyas. Okay, when it says that since you drowned others, you're drowned, Rashi says, the fact that you are melastim es abriyos matzifin benar, that you stole from others and drowned them in the river, matzifucha benar, so you became drowned. Okay, so Rashi says v'sof matifcha yitufu, knows that drowned you will be drowned. He says osam shehitzifucha, those that drowned you. Yiyu gum cane mason ba'osam misa. They will also suffer the same misa that they inflicted on you. Shehem hayu chayavin misa. They really were chayav misa. Ela shenergu al yidei zeh mibnei shehaya kadosh baruch hu asid lugvos miyada. Okay. So the guy that was killed, the guy that was drowned, was Chayiv Misa. Okay? He was Chayiv Misa because he killed others. Okay? But he, God collected the debt from him. God punished him through another person that deserves death. In other words, the one that killed you, even though you were Chayiv Misa, but God worked it out that you should receive your onesh through somebody else that's also in Russia. Okay? So that's why he says, those that killed you, even though you were chayv, you deserved this, you deserved it, right? But those that drowned you, they'll be drowned too. Why? Because they themselves were chayv misa for something else. Okay? He says, like it says in Shmuel, if may Rishayim Yetze Rasha. Okay. So David said that evil comes from those that are evil. Right? And where did he get that from? So Rashi asks, where did David get that statement? That from the evil man comes evil? So it says in Shmos, when it says, when the Pasuk says, Golis, when the person goes to Golis, so the Pasuk says like this. Makeish v'meis mosi mos. Person killed another person is chayav misa. Rashi lo tzadok. But if a person did not lay in wait, didn't ambush him, Elokim ina liyada. But God placed him there. V'samti lecha makom asher yanis sham. Okay, so then the person has to go to Golis. Meaning, if a person intentionally killed somebody, it's kind of easy. But if a person was climbing a ladder, right, and fell down the ladder, right, and was swinging an axe, and the axe had fell off, so it's a shogay. He didn't do it intentionally, but he was negligent. He didn't check the axe head, so the axe head fell off and killed another man. So the halacha is, it's not chayav misa, but he goes to Golus, right? But the pasuk says, v'lekim ina liyado, that God placed him in that spot. Okay? So what does it mean, God placed him in that spot? So Rashi says like this. Rashi says, he says, Shnei b'nei Elam. Okay, you have two men. Echad harag b'shogeg. One person killed somebody else by accident. Ve'echad harag b'mezeg. And another person killed somebody intentionally. Lo hayu edim b'dav. There were no edim that could testify against this man. Okay, so the halacha is, if there's no edim, so the person that killed intentionally has to go free, and the person that killed b'shogeg doesn't go to Golus. He also goes free. Okay? So Rashi says, V'akadosh Baruch Hu mezamnan lepundak echad. But God worked it out that they both happened to be at the same inn, the same hotel at the same moment. Echad zeh shehar b'mezid yoshev tachas asua. The person that killed intentionally happens to be sitting under a ladder. Vezeh shehar b'shogeg ola b'sulim v'nofel. And the one that killed somebody b'shogeg, so he's climbing up the ladder, and then broke and fell and killed the guy. So the person that killed, and there were eight of them. So therefore, the person that killed the mazid, he gets misa. He's killed because the guy fell on him. The guy that fell on the ladder, who originally was Harig b'shogeg, he, the witnesses are there, and they send him to Golus. So each guy gets exactly what he deserves. Okay? But that's what it means, may Rishayim yetzei resha. It means from the, if the evil is done by the person that's already evil. Okay, so the guy that, it's true, the guy that deserved death, he got what he deserved. But through what vehicle? Through somebody, not through an innocent person. The person that fell on him was not innocent. He deserved also Golus. He was guilty himself. So that's the idea in Rishayim yetzei resha. And even though this guy deserved to die, but if you killed him, you were culpable too. It was not by accident. Right? So, it's a strange type of thing, right? Well, it seems like, just like a, hocus pocus. I mean, if the guy deserves to die, and God wants him to die, so just have a prick on his head. What do you need? You need this guy, and let this guy go to Golus? Let him, let him work it out a different way. Right? That there be Edom. Let there be Edom there. If you want him to go to Golus. So work out that there was Edom there when he did it with Shogeg. And this guy got away with it. So he's walking by and a coconut falls on his head. What do you need, set it up this way? Right? Special kind of mysterious thing that, no, it has to be that the guy who's, God wants him to die, but it's got to be through this guy who deserves himself. I mean, like it's an efficiency rule, you want to knock off two birds with one stone. Right? What's the, think about it, hopefully next week is the yeshiva. Think about it. As I was saying over here, Rashi's relaying to that. Rashi's saying that that's the memory. What the memory is saying is that if this guy drowned and he was chayav misa, apparently the Hillel knew he was chayav misa, he knew he was a He knew when he saw the guy drowned in the water, he knew who the guy was. He was a criminal. He was a Ritzayim. So he knew he was Chayav Nisim. So he said, the ones that killed you must have also been guilty themselves of something else. Because the onesh only occurs through a person that's already guilty. What is the concept? Okay. I'm sorry? Something like this to go on?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, I'd be a better
Okay. So we'll talk
about
it. Do you send an email if you have a shiur or not?
I'm sorry?
Do you send an email to tell people if you have a shiur or not? Or how does it work?
I guess if I wasn't going to do it, I'd call maybe for
Okay.
Usually, yeah, I don't think we hardly ever do it.
I think 2 years ago.
What's that?
I think 2 years
ago. They're talking about two different things.
Yeah,
they're talking about something else.
No, he was asking, do I send an email if I'm going to share? Usually, if I don't. Why is there an email? Is there one email that you can collect?
No, I just want, because sometimes there are sure, but like, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, I think we're a piece of it.
I wasn't going to give, I guess. But otherwise, you're not going to get a text that there is shit.
Right.
You assume there is a
right.
Are you around today?
Give me a call. I'm not sure.
All right.
You're in today.
Can you arrive?
Exactly. No.
Is Marshall around?
Marshall's not here.
So,
Howie and Marshall.
They're going.
Wait 1 second. So is this thing still recording?
Last week, Howie was
showing off, right?